This has been like a week of the crown for me. Crowns keep showing up this week. It started last Sunday when I was able to go over to Minneapolis with my parents and a few priest friends, and we watched a great show over at the Orpheum, Hamilton. You've probably seen it, or you know kind of the story of the founding fathers. And there's one character in the show, of course, King George. He's this kind of power-crazed maniac comedian. He keeps coming onto the scene. I think he's some people's favorite character, just on how wild he is in some of his phrases. Like, he wants to rule his subjects with an iron fist, but then just smiles and laughs, and it's kind of this weird pairing. But that was the first crown that came up for me this week, King George. Then on Tuesday, we had our yearly May crowning, so you'll see our statue of Mary over here is crowned with some flowers. We had our school celebration that we do every year, and some of our second graders crowned Mary. Of course, Mary's a queen, the queen of heaven and earth, so we put a crown on her head. That was the second crown this week. And then the third, of course, yesterday, I was watching some of the live stream of the first coronation in England in 70 years. For most of us, that was probably the first coronation we've ever seen of a king or a queen of England. Now, King Charles III. And I was struck, actually, by some of the live stream that I was watching. It was situated in an act of worship. Of course, England has been a Christian country for centuries. And the king, he doesn't just hold earthly rule. He participates in some way with God's divine rule. This was even the case before King Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church. He even then had power in the church. So all of the kings of England before the English Reformation, they participated with the Pope and the cardinals and the archbishops in the rule of the church, and rightly so. But then King Henry VIII, he broke off and crowned him sole head of the Church of England. And so you were able to see that actually on full display yesterday in the coronation ceremony. It happened in this act of worship. Even it's high church, so you see a lot of imagery, things that you might even recognize in our own liturgies. His head was anointed with oil, as kings have done for thousands of years. That action actually happened in secret. They brought out these three panels, and King Charles III went behind the panels, and it wasn't even privy to the cameras as he was anointed his head. I think he might have been wearing even more layers than I was. He was adorned with all these symbolic things even before he was crowned. And then they went on with the rest of their liturgy, and their liturgy even looks very similar to ours. So it was a reminder for me of this blending of earthly rule and heavenly rule. That the king, who is often seen as a civic or a governmental figure, is also a religious figure in a certain sense. And I was kind of struck by that. This week, I got some birthday cards from some of our students. I was reading through all of them yesterday. One of my favorites, a second grader, she said, "Father Chad, I hope you get to heaven. I believe in you." And I was happy for that. "I hope you get to heaven. I believe in you." It was a reminder for me, even as I rule, as I wield some kind of power in the church, I can't forget that I'm on my path too. Even as a priest, I have to be on my own path. And this is a good reminder for any in leadership. We wield certain powers and privileges, but each of us also on our road to heaven. Now, our readings this weekend, they, I think, speak a little bit of this priestly calling, this divine calling for each person to be on their path. And it's a royal path. We can think sometimes, oh, the royalty, they're just those who hold high power, the King of England, the king of this country, this leader, or whatever it is, they're the ones who hold this kind of royal power. Even there's an infatuation, I think, in the world on the royals and royalty. But we can forget, wait a minute, I'm part of that too. This isn't just something way over there across the ocean. The Lord has called each of us to a certain dignity and royalty. In the first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, you have the apostles, these rulers, these first bishops who start delegating some of their tasks. They realize it's too much for them. And so they start appointing other leaders. It lists seven of them today. The church sees these as like the first deacons of the church. And then this interesting line at the end, even a large group of priests were becoming obedient to the faith. I read that and said, thank God there's hope for the priests. Even some priests were being obedient. Father Chad, I hope you get to heaven. I believe in you. The priests, they still needed to recognize their need for a savior. Even as they held some kind of power, some of them even were coming to the faith. Of course, we know these priests that it's responding to or talking about to be the priests of the old covenant, those who would make the spiritual sacrifices in the temple, those who were descendants of Levi, the priest who accompanied Moses through the desert. So they were these Levitical priests, but Jesus was calling them to a new priesthood, to a new royalty, a new dignity. St. Peter, one of the 12 mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles, he writes our second reading today, and he talks even more about this priesthood. He says to each of you, like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house. A spiritual house built of living stones founded on the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is a new house. It's a new kingdom. It's not just the house of Israel anymore, the Jews. Now God was calling even more to a new house, Gentile and Jew. So he says, be living stones of this spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He's calling a new priesthood. And not even just the priests who stand behind the altar, but a priesthood that extends even further, that goes into the pews. He talks more about this, that you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. This is what happens to each of us through the sacrament of baptism. When our heads, like King Charles III, were anointed with oil. Every baptism I do, I smear chrism, the oil of greatest significance in our church. It's the most sacred of our oils. It smells really sweet. It takes the name of Christ, chrism. And I anoint the heads of all the baptized with that holy chrism. just as kings are anointed. And I always remind the family there, this new creation, this new child or adult, whoever it is being baptized, they have a new dignity. They have a new priesthood. They're actually a king now and a prophet. That's how much God extends his kingdom. He wants us to be part of it. He wants us to be involved in it, to have leadership in it, not to just be bystanders or subjects in his kingdom, to be ruled and dominated. No, God wants us to be a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own. That royal priesthood Peter's talking about, this is a reference from the book of Exodus, when Moses and the Israelites going throughout the desert, God calls them, and there's this line in Exodus, that you would be a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. Not just one priest, not just one king, but that all of you would bear some royal dignity. And that when you come to worship, you don't come just so the offering would be made for you, but you come to participate in the offering. Because only a priest can make a sacrifice. And you, sisters and brothers, are priests. You're kings and queens. You're prophets, all participating in all the divine worship and ruling of this new house, this new kingdom that the Lord calls us to. And so I invite you today, let's wear those crowns. Let's hold our heads high. Let's remind ourselves, Jesus has called me, weak, untalented maybe as I am, he's called me to be a particular priest, a particular royal person in his house. And so let's worship today in this one act of sacrifice, bringing all of our hearts to the King of Heaven.